The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything.
And we're back. Farrell on the bench. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty tonight and all week long. He's on vacation. He will be back on Monday for Super Bowl week as we will finally be there, get through this bye week. It's always one of the tougher weeks of the year. Now, it's a little better. Listen, you always have NBA, you got NHL, you got college hoops, you got things going on, but anticipation is high. You want to get to the Super Bowl. You know the matchup. It's such a long haul waiting to get to that game. And once you get to Monday through this weekend, you can really start to zero in on it, get yourself pumped up. All the hoopla starts. Now, it is going to be different this year. We're not going to have the silly media night with all the people there. Now they're going to have it virtually. Can't wait to see what they do with that. But, you know, with the 6 billion reporters from all over the world asking them dopey questions. But, Mafo, we're halfway there. I think this hour we'll touch on a couple things, like putting the Aaron Rodgers thing to bed and other quarterback stuff around the NFL. But we're getting there slowly but surely. I'm waiting for, you know, one of those next big things. Like, you know, there's nothing juicy on a bye week for these two teams. It seems like everybody's going to be healthy. The biggest story I saw today was what jersey each team's going to wear. You know, the Bucks are going to wear white. So that's the big thing right now. There's no juice with the Super Bowl until we probably get to Monday.
As long as it's the color of the team and it's not some weird third jersey that they wanted to go by and they don't have, you know, different colors than they usually have, I'm okay with it. I don't care what they're wearing. It's not a fashion show.
Well,
it's a game.
Since the Bucks are at home, they should be allowed to come out in the 70s and 80s creamsicles. That's what they should be allowed to come out in.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that. I'll get that one.
That's an auto bet right there. If the Bucks ever came out in the creamsicles, run to the window. They're winning that Super Bowl. But that's not happening. It's not part of there. But they'll be wearing white, Mafia, and the Chiefs will be wearing their standard red. I do have a funny story that we'll bring up later for Super Bowl week, bye week, which is about the TB12 diet, Mafia. I want to see if you would be able to handle the TB12 diet. Can Mafia do it? I know that I probably couldn't, but I will give Mafia the TB12 diet later on, and we'll talk about some of the other things, the quarterbacks going around the league and the carousel that's going to happen there. We've got games going on. The Warriors have now pushed back ahead of the T-Wolves, 42-38, 5 minutes to go in the first half there. Give the Wizards a little bit of credit, I guess, Mafia. Midway through the fourth quarter, they've got it within 10 now. You can catch the Wizards getting 8.5 on the live line at FanDuel. They've showed up a little bit here, Mafia, in the second half. I know they stink. And the Mavericks, who, of course, we picked up at the half, getting 16.5. Well, we are right on the number. 111-95. The Jazz lead the Mavericks. There's about 3-4 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter. So we are going to sweat that one out for that in-game bet. We welcome in all of our radio affiliates. Pharrell on the Bench, Carver High, and Mafia. In for Scotty, 844-843-6879. The number to get involved. We, of course, are rolling on SiriusXM Channel 204, Sports Grid Radio, Mightier 1090, and all of our great affiliates coast to coast. Yes, Mafia. So we are right on the number. Jazz 111, Mavericks 95. We are catching 16.5 with the Mavs in the in-game at the half. In-game on FanDuel right now, 15.5. So let's see if the Mavericks and Luka and company, who's probably not even in the game anymore with how much of a blowout it is, let's see if they can finish this off for us, Mafia. Two nights in a row, the Pharrell on the Bench, halftime, in-game, late-night hit. Let's see if we can get it again.
Listen, that's always the danger when you're up big like that to bet in-game on a team that's, you know, kicking someone on else's butt. And Luka is still in there right now with his 27 points. Luka, Porzingis, Hardaway, they're all in there. So it's not like they're just trying to give up and pack it in. They're trying to go for it with 3 minutes left here. You know, I was talking about that over the weekend with the Lakers when they were blowing out someone. I think it was Chicago. And I said, listen, it's always dangerous when a team's up big to go, you know, bet on them in-game because the other team, you know, eventually at some point, you know, if the lead is big enough, they're going to start putting in scrubs and, you know, the good team's going to take out their good players and you're always in danger of that backdoor cover when you're getting that many points. So right now, you know, Dallas is still fighting and I think that'll keep the Jazz with their better players in there. But if at some point we get down to, you know, a minute 30 and they're still up 16 or they're up 20, maybe they pull some guys out and rest them and then all of a sudden you might get a few last minute shots and get the backdoor cover.
Yeah, and that's what we're hoping for right now. We're hoping that we can somehow just stretch that 16.5. Wisconsin is going to beat Maryland 61-52. Just 5 seconds left to go in that game. Final, Clemson beat Louisville. Good win for Clemson, who's been very up and down the last few weeks. Baylor, they just missed the 50-burger, Mafia. They just missed it. 107-59. Baylor thumps Kansas State tonight. Just missed. All right, so we do have a lot to do here. Hour number two, Pharrell on the Bench. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty. 844-843-6879, the number to get involved. We are rolling on SiriusXM Channel 204 Sports Grid Radio. When we come back, the quarterback carousel is starting to spin. Pharrell on the Bench rolls on right after this.
TV, satellite, and our mobile app. We make it easy. Like, real easy. In fact, if you're not listening,
it's you.
It's always you.
Slacker.
We are the Sports Grid Radio Network.
And we're back! Pharrell on the Bench! Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty, 844-843-6879. The number to get involved. We are rocking on SiriusXM Channel 204 Sports Grid Radio on a Wednesday night. Scotty will be back on Monday for Super Bowl week. You've got me and Mafia tonight and the next two nights, Thursday and Friday, as we will be in here the entire week holding it down. 116-100, Mafia, with 1:34 left in the fourth quarter. We are on the Mavs in game at the half, getting 16.5 from the Jazz. We are ahead by the hook. We are going to try to close the door here and somehow give me a couple of Maverick buckets here in garbage time. Make this one a no sweat job with 30 seconds left. Let's try.
It looks like in this time out there, they're both clearing the benches here, so you might have a shot.
Oh, please. Give me some guy on the Mavs bench, just hoist up a couple threes and hit him, and they lose by 9. Let's just do that. Let's just make it easy. Come on. It never is that easy. It's never that easy. So we'll see how that one finishes up. Mafia, let's do some of this NFL quarterback carousel stuff. And forget Aaron Rodgers. I think that we closed the book on Aaron Rodgers. Him, of course, on McAfee, on Mad Dog Radio, on Sirius, all that stuff. He said what he said. I think that that kind of debunked all of it. He's not leaving the Packers. He's going to be the Packer quarterback next year. It got us through 2.5 days of the bye week, and now we have to move on to other things. I would rather, Mafia, talk about quarterbacks that actually are not going to be the starting quarterbacks for their teams next year. And one of them, clearly, in my eyes, is Jared Goff. Like, let's be fair here. Like, you know, he gets hurt at the end of the year, the thumb injury. They start Wofford. Yes, there it is. There you go. So they start Wofford in week 17 against Arizona, and then McVay starts him in the playoff game before he goes and gets hurt. So, look, let's hear first, Mafia, from the GM, Les Snead, because this is Les. You talk about not giving a vote of confidence. He had several quotes that give no vote of confidence to Jared Goff whatsoever. Here is the Ram GM, Les Snead.
I think at the end of the day, right, Sean wants us to improve, especially on the offensive side of the ball. And I don't think you're going to hear Sean come off of that stance anytime soon. If you know Sean, if you work with him every day, Bill, I mean, when he comes back from decompressing, it's going to be full throttle, not just on the offensive side of the ball, but a lot of it on the offensive side of the ball. Like, okay, how do we be better than, let's call it, 18th in scoring? We'll keep it simple like that.
Let's just call it like it is. They don't want him to be the quarterback anymore. Like, that's a situation where you know that a guy is in trouble. Now, they're paying him a lot of money. Just like the Eagles are paying Wentz a lot of money. There's guys making a lot of money who aren't going to be the quarterback next year. But Mafia, they're making it so obvious. Whether it's McVay last week, whether it's Snead this week, they are telling you, we don't want this guy anymore. It is clear as day.
Yeah, especially, I mean, if you look at the stats, you can understand why. I mean, the guy, you know, had games where he was incredible and then had games where he was just terrible. And you can't have that inconsistency in the NFL. It's one thing if you have that with a guy who's, you know, a first, second, maybe even third-year starter, someone still getting their feet under him, still figuring out, you know, a new offense, someone, you know, still learning to play the position. A guy who has been around as long as Jared Goff has and who's making the money that Jared Goff is cannot be inconsistent. You know, if I asked you right now, Carver High, 2020, total QBR for the season, where do you think Jared Goff fell?
I mean, he's a middle-of-the-road quarterback, so I would say probably between 14 and 18.
No. Try 23rd. Yeah, he was 23rd behind guys like Mitchell Trubisky, behind guys like Daniel Jones, Kirk Cousins, Teddy Bridgewater, Matt Ryan. He was behind so many guys and just had a terrible season overall. It's just, you can't have that. This guy's making too much to have, you know, that be the way that your team is running, especially a team that has such a great defense. You know, we've talked about this with a lot of these quarterbacks in different positions, different cities. I mean, teams like, the Chargers in L.A., they had such good defensive players and were so good on that side of the ball, they couldn't have Phillip Rivers holding them back, so they let him go. Or this year in Indy, you know, the year before that, you had Jacoby Brissett. He had such a good defense in Indy, you couldn't have him holding them back, so they went and got Phillip Rivers, who was better in Indy than he was in L.A., so let's give him that at least. You know, he did enough. He wasn't great, but he was good enough. I mean, Jared Goff right now is holding that team back from what they could be. They got the 1 year to the Super Bowl, and him and Gurley and all those guys played great. And then they had to get rid of Gurley because his knees started giving up. They had to get rid of some of these receivers and start retooling there. And when they started taking away some of the weapons that were making Jared Goff be better than he probably is, he came back down to not even middle of the pack, but below it, as we just pointed out. So if you're going to pay him all that money, he's got to make it. And he isn't making it. He's not worth it. So I'm not surprised that they're, you know, deciding if they want to keep him or not. And as you said, it showed all you needed to see in that, you know, the playoff game. That this guy kept talking about, I'm back, I'm working hard, I can't wait to be there. And he's active for that playoff game. He was your starter all year, and he doesn't start the playoff game. That's the beginning of the end right there.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not like he was getting benched for, you know, some guy who's got a lot of experience in the league, maybe has won a couple of playoff games, a really good backup. I mean, you're talking about John Walford from Wake Forest, who played for the first time in his life in the NFL a week before. Like, that is telling. And this is what else is telling to me. And it's very, you look around the league and, you know, we mentioned it, Kaplan said earlier in the week to Keith on Coast to Coast, like, you know, we're talking like 14 to 17 teams that could legitimately want to upgrade their quarterback situations. Mafia, where are these quarterbacks? What are we going to take all these quarterbacks that are on all these teams that need quarterbacks and just put them on different teams and suddenly they're going to be better? Like, I know you could probably fit guys in different systems, but aside from Deshaun Watson, and I'll even put Matthew Stafford there, because I think that Stafford could go to a team like the Saints and keep their window open for two or three more years, legitimately. Aside from those two guys, like, where are these quarterbacks coming from? Who are you putting in the game? I mean, the Rams putting Wofford in the game. They want to play him. Where are these great quarterbacks that are going to fill all these slots where teams need players? I don't see it.
Yeah, and you know, it makes sense when you have a team that's bad, a team that is going to have a draft pick and it's easier for them to move on, or a team that's kind of, you know, middle of the road where they might not have a great draft pick, but they have a good enough team in other spots and they can get one of these veterans and try to make that work. You have a lot of these teams that are actually, you know, decent teams that are not going to have good draft picks. The Rams were a playoff team. The Bears were a playoff team. You know, there's teams like that that are in a situation kind of no man's land where it's like, yeah, maybe you want to move on to get better because your guy was good enough to get you there but not good enough to get you a title and will never be good enough to get you a title. But you don't have a good enough pick to grab one of these top guys. Although, if the draft is as deep as these, you know, a lot of these analysts are saying, then maybe you can get somebody that might be worth something and might be, you know, your future. But still, if you're good enough to get to the playoffs, you're not sitting there and saying, okay, we can take 2 or 3 years off. You have a window. It's open right now. You need somebody in there that can pick things up. You know, are you going to trust it to Jameis Winston? Are you going to trust it to Trubisky if he moves on from his team, or Nick Foles if he gets, you know, released and they go completely, you know, in a new direction at quarterback there? Are you going to trust it to some of these other guys that might be on the market, you know, like a Goff, just to hope that a change of scenery is good enough, or a Darnold? I don't know.
No, it's very hard. And you think about it. And we'll come back and we'll talk about this because there's one more point I do want to make. The guys that make the most money in the league, those teams don't win. They just don't. Pharrell on the bench, Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty, 844-843-6879. We keep rolling. Pharrell on the bench right after this. Pharrell on the bench, Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty, 844-843-6879 is the telephone number to get involved. We are rocking on Sirius XM Channel 204 Sports Grid Radio. Good to have you with us, Mafia. 116-104, a 12-point win for the Utah Jazz over the Mavericks tonight. What does that mean? For the second night in a row, we hit our Pharrell on the bench halftime in-game bet. We had the Mavs getting 16.5 in Utah at the half, and they end up covering it. There you go, Mafia. The scrubs came in and got it done.
Always beware the backdoor cover and a blowout, man. That never fails to hurt you when you wait that long. I love betting in-game in the NBA when it's a good team that's down. You know, like if you're getting points to the Lakers tonight when they were down to Philly and they lose by one, so you cover, or, you know, some of these other, I mean, the Lakers are one of my favorite ones in game to bet in the NBA because they constantly have slow starts and then just turn it on and come back against these teams. So they're usually amazing for that. But there's other ones as well that kind of, you know, you don't take the game completely as strong as you should in the beginning, and then you got to build up later on. So that's what I love to do all the time. But, you know, whenever you have a team that's up big against another team that's not necessarily that much worse than them, you always got to worry about that backdoor cover. A lot of big games, you know, with big teams getting blown out suddenly when that number gets up there, especially over 15, 20s, things like that, that's always dangerous.
Look, I've told you a billion times, we've talked about it a lot. I'll only bet the NBA in game. I mean, that's it. I won't bet these NBA games pregame anymore. NBA is strictly an in-game bet for me. There's too much uncertainty before these games in terms of who's playing, in terms of who cares, things like that. I like bets like the ones we have made the last two nights in the NBA. Halftime, where are we at? What does the game look like? Who's involved? And it just so happens that both nights the Jazz were involved for us. Last night, losing money line to beat the Knicks. Tonight, up big on the Mavs. We get the Mavs at 16.5. Boom, and away we go. In-game betting in the NBA, that is where I want to be. Forget the pregame stuff. I just think it's too tough. I think in-game is where the edges are when it comes to that. Back to this quarterback situation, Mafia. The Stafford stuff is funny. I saw a bunch of different reports today. One said one-third of the league has called the Lions about Matthew Stafford. Another report said there's not much interest in Matthew Stafford. Like, I mean, come on. There's interest in Matthew Stafford. We just said it. You know, half the league almost, you could say, would be willing to upgrade their quarterback. I love these stories, the back and forth. Yes and no. And here's another one why it's so bad to fill all these positions, Mafia. The Colts, I saw today, would be willing, Ursay said, to, yes, ask Andrew Luck if he wants to come back. I mean, he's probably going to say no, but they'd be willing to go knock on his door because the quarterback situation in this league is so bad that they'd be willing to do that. He's not going to, but they'd at least go and knock on his door. It's tough. It's tough to fill these spots.
Yeah, and you know, as it's going to be with anybody, you know, any quarterback they're going to bring in via trade, it's going to be one thing if you're signing them and or if you're drafting them. But a guy like Stafford, or you know, if somehow people go after Matt Ryan in Atlanta, which I don't think because of the big number he has, or you know, obviously people who everyone's going to call out Watson, everyone's going to want him. But it's all going to be about what it costs. You know, for Watson, a guy like that in his prime, you know, a lot of teams are probably willing to pay the price that the Houston wants. Although it's going to go down the more you hear stories about him not wanting to be there and about, you know, if you get the hints that he might say, well, if you don't trade me, I'm not showing up. You know, when that kind of stuff goes and you lose levers, then yeah, you know, it's not going to be as big a haul, but still, you're going to get a lot for a guy like that. A guy like Stafford, a guy like Ryan, who have big numbers on their contracts and also are, you know, up there in age, or Stafford, who's been injured, you know, a bunch over the last couple of years, who was very durable, but then all of a sudden started having injury issues. That's going to be different. You know, then it's going to be a lot of teams are going to call. You know, there's plenty of teams that are going to be interested, but what are you asking? Because I'm not going to trade, you know, my picks that are going to send me back for 10 years if I'm only going to have this guy for 3. So that's where you're going to find some difference here. There's going to be a lot of interest as far as people inquiring, but is there a lot of interest in people willing to pay what Detroit's going to ask for, you know, in return for him? And especially when you know there is going to be some kind of divorce here. It might not be trade. You know, if enough people sit back and wait, you know, you play the game of chicken of, well, if you can't trade him, and you already said you're getting rid of him, you know, can I outwait other teams? And can I sit there and stare right at the oncoming car and, you know, not have to jump out of the way, and then you end up releasing him and I get him for just about nothing?
Right. And you also have to factor in is, you know, the cap hits $33 million for him, which is also a very tough thing, because you need to know if you could squeeze it in. And I've seen a couple good... So there are interesting spots for Stafford, because Stafford's a guy, I think you need a window of 2 to 4 years. If you think you got some pieces already, you think your team is good enough. I think the Saints are one of those teams. I think Washington could be one of those teams. I think the Colts could be one of those teams. Yes, probably New England as well. I think that those are the kind of situations for Stafford, Mafia, that you'd want to look to him to get. And think about that. We just named all those teams. There's a bunch of other teams as well that would be in the quarterback market. And after Stafford and Watson, I just can't find who's filling them. It's so crazy. It really is. But I think any of those four spots would be pretty good for Matthew Stafford.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. All, except on New England. I don't know where they are at this point. I don't know. You know, is Belichick trying to make a quick build here so he can try to win another title before he's done, because he can't have too many years left? Or is he trying to set the franchise up for success after he's gone? Because, you know, he talked about this year how they were kind of screwed by the cap situation the last couple of years, how they couldn't really sign anybody or afford anybody. Is he gonna let the franchise be stuck with that after he's gone by, you know, trying to do a quick fix here? It doesn't seem like his MO. But then again, with Brady in the Super Bowl here, you know he doesn't want to sit there and lose the rest of his career and have everybody say, well, it was all Brady, because he needs that. He needs that for his legacy, to have that chip on his shoulder and to have that little, you know, ace in the hole of, well, I won without him too, that it was both of us. But, you know, that brings me to another thing, too, that, you know, a guy that we don't talk about, that we've kind of forgotten about because he didn't have a great season last year, but another guy that's going to be out there. Does anybody take a chance on Cam Newton? Does anyone sit there and say, well, he didn't have a great year in New England, but I can rebuild this guy, especially if you're going to get him on a kind of deal that the New England Patriots got him last year?
Yeah, I think he's washed. I really do. I think he's washed. He just, there was, you know, I know he didn't throw the ball all that much, but it just didn't look very pretty. Aside from that one game, there was one game, I think week two or three, when they played Seattle on Sunday night, where he was throwing the ball all over the place. And I don't know if he, you know, it was hurt or whatever the rest of the year, but they did not throw the ball the same the rest of the season. It was very bizarre. Good tweet this morning from Field Yates, ESPN. Players with the top cap hits for 2021. Ben Roethlisberger, $41.2 million. Matt Ryan, $40.9 million. Rodgers, $37.5 million. Brees, $36.1 million. Wentz, $34.6 million. Goff, $34.6 million. Stafford, $33 million. Mafia, you can make the case on that whole list. I mean, Pittsburgh clearly needs to start looking at who Ben's passing the torch to. Atlanta, are they going to completely scrap the whole thing all over again? We know about the Rodgers. We've done the dance for 3 days. Forget him. He's staying in Green Bay. Brees, reports say he's going to retire. Wentz and Goff, I mean, geez. I mean, hanging by a thread, really, with their two teams. And Stafford, who we know is going to get traded. Kind of says something to you. You know, it's hard when you give these guys the big money that they, some of them have deserved for what they've done in their, you know, in their first few years in the league. But when you give these guys the enormous money and it takes up such a huge part of your cap, you're going to pay for it down the road. And these teams that I just listed right there, they're paying for it.
Yeah, and there's something that if all those guys were actually honest with the teams and with the fans, no, when you look at those cap hits, this is what they're really saying.
We're not worthy! We're not worthy! We're not worthy!
Because, you know, at this point, a lot of those, obviously Big Ben had a great season. Brizo, you know, started to look old. As we, you know, talking about Stafford and Ryan. Stafford's definitely on the move. Ryan, you know, if he wasn't such a high cap hit, might have been on the move in Atlanta. I mean, that's the thing. You talk about all these guys. Goff, you know, most likely on the move if they don't end up, you know, unless this other kid can't beat him out. If Wolford can't beat him out, I mean, then they should just implode the quarterback position in general and get somebody else completely. But you talked about it. There is just such a, you know, disservice to a team sometimes. And obviously the quarterback always gets paid the most. They always get paid the highest. We see these deals go up, 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 up. But when you're in a salary cap situation, in a salary cap sport like that, you know, it's hard to have the cap, just the hit go up on these guys and it not affect the team. That's why, you know, for how many years the Patriots were the best because Brady didn't make as much. He wasn't the top right. cap hit. He wasn't these guys, you know. We saw guys like, you know, Eli had a big cap hit for the Giants and they couldn't rebuild around him because they didn't have the money at these other spots. You could only have certain amounts of money to go around. So it's really, if you have one of these guys, and especially if they're later in the career, the only way you're going to do it is by building through the draft and hoping you get a hit on these guys early in their career before they start to make money. Because once they do, you have to start tearing teams apart. You have to get rid of, you know, Todd Gurley. You have to get rid of the Legion of Boom in Seattle once Russell Wilson started making a bunch of money. That's how it works. You need a young to mid, you know, in your career quarterback before they start making giant sums. Otherwise, your team just can't build around them.
It's so true, and the Patriots are the anomaly. What they did for 20 years is not the norm. Seattle got there twice, 1-1. They had to scrap it after they paid Russ. And let me tell you, Mahomes' deal doesn't kick in for a year or two. The really, really big money, Chiefs better win this year and maybe next too, because they're going to have to get rid of some guys that they're paying big money to as well, because that's a lot of money Mahomes is going to make eventually. Pharrell on the bench, Carver High and Mafia here with you, 844-843-6879. We keep rolling on the bench in SiriusXM Channel 204 Sports Grid Radio right after this.
There are 24 hours in every day,
1,440 minutes,
86,400 seconds, and we still have trouble squeezing all this glorious
sports talk in.
Have you thought about maybe sleeping less?
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Straight through the heart.
And we're back. Pharrell on the bench. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty, who is off all week. He'll be back on Monday for Super Bowl week. Very exciting. The Bucks and the Chiefs. 844-843-6879, the number to get involved. We are rolling on Sirius XM Channel 204 Sports Grid Radio and all of our other great affiliates. Mafia, are you ready? Will you do the TB12 diet, Mafia? I came across this on Twitter, and I just have to ask
you. No, I would real ice cream, not avocado ice cream.
Well, look, it's pretty good. 80%, here's the basic outline. And a couple people, of course, with Brady being in the Super Bowl again, there's a lot of people writing stories about this. This is one of these bye week things. You're looking for something about the Super Bowl to write about, so let's all copy Tom Brady's TB12 diet. And Pete Blackburn from CBSSports.com, who covers hockey and a bunch of other stuff there, I guess he got it handed in his lap. So he's kind of doing like a running blog about it there. Here's the basic outlines, Mafia. 80% fruits, vegetables, whole grains, nuts, seeds. 20% protein, chicken, red meat, seafood. You have to eat until you're 75% full. I don't know how you're supposed to monitor that, but you're supposed to eat until you're 75% full. No dairy or nightshades. You got to half your body weight in pounds and drink that many ounces of water. So, I guess there you go. If you weigh 200, you got to drink 100 ounces of water a day, Mafia. So you're in for that. Max 2 cups of coffee, no caffeine afternoon, no food within 3 hours of going to bed. Those are like the, you know, like the rules for the gremlins. Those are the rules for the TB12 diet. Could you stick to just that, Mafia? All that stuff that I just listed there.
Not even close. I mean, I used to try to, you know, eat healthier. I was eating for a couple of years or less meat and cutting out dairy and stuff. And now all that's kind of back in my diet. My wife, you know, loves having that stuff in there. So I kind of just acquiesce to that. But I mean, the funny thing is, you know, some of that stuff that works out great. If you are one of these guys who has a perfect schedule every day, can go to bed 8, 9 o'clock at night, wake up 4 or 5 in the morning, you and me working, you know, right now we're on the air till midnight Eastern. Is it possible for you to have no caffeine from noon till 2 a.m. and actually stay up? No way in hell, especially you with a kid. And, you know, my puppy's driving me nuts and keeping me up enough. I can't imagine having, you know, my daughter was here right now, I'd get no sleep whatsoever. So I know that you are going through hell with that, I'm sure. Like, most people cannot go from noon to whenever they're going to bed with no caffeine or not eating for 3 hours. Or, you know, so that only happens when you have a perfect schedule and people buying your groceries and people doing your cooking. Like, regular people cannot follow this.
It is amazing. And here's some notes from Tom's personal chef. No white sugar, no white flour, no MSG. He'll use raw olive oil, but never cooks with olive oil. Only cooks with coconut oil. Geez, he uses Himalayan pink salt as the sodium, never iodized salt. Tom doesn't eat the nightshades because they're not anti-inflammatory. No tomatoes, peppers, mushrooms, or eggplants. Trickles the tomatoes in every now and then. No coffee, no caffeine, no fungus, no dairy. So that's Tom. I guess there's Tom, you know, there's some rules for him and some rules for everybody else who's going to do the TB12 diet. The kids eat fruit. Tom, not so much. He will eat bananas in a smoothie, but otherwise, he prefers not to eat fruits. I got to tell you, Mafia, I'll give him this. We say it all the time when we play his videos on Coast to Coast or you see him at press conferences. I'll give the guy credit. For 43, he looks like he's about, you know, 28. So it's hard to knock the guy when he looks as good as he does at 43. It's hard to knock him.
Listen, if it's important for your career and, you know, you have that kind of discipline, good on you. I don't have that. You know, I don't need to do that for my career. And life's too short for me to never drink or to not have. I mean, you cut out. Even if I was with you in the beginning, now you're saying no tomatoes, no eggplant. I can't have eggplant parm. Forget it. Eggplant rotini, that's awesome. Like, I love tomatoes and eggplant and like half those things you mentioned in the second part of this that he can't have ever. I do like the pink Himalayan salt that I use, but, you know, I can't cook with oil. Come on, you're nuts. That's just, yeah, not worth it for me. Life's too short. I'll go with the Morgan Spurlock diet instead of the TB12 one. Thanks.
Yeah, it's it's right. It is for what he does. He's got to do stuff like that. But no, we're not mixing in the TB12 diet. That's for sure. Good luck to Tom. And he's got the personal chef also, which we don't have the advantage of either, Mafia. So no personal chef. Yeah. Very hard
personal
for
chef,
us.
Personal shopper, yeah, personal everything.
Yes, good for Tom. Good for Tom. Healthy and happiness to Tom Brady. 67-60, the Warriors lead the T-Wolves in San Francisco. Not in Oakland, even though their jerseys say Oakland on them tonight. We know that that is not true. They now play at the Chase. And the floor. They got it all over the floor, too, Oakland. I mean, honestly, give me a break. 67-60, minus 9.5 for the Warriors on the live line.
Ed, if that was a UR here map, that would be highly inaccurate.
Oh, geez. You ain't kidding. One more story that came across the Twitter feed, Mafia, as I was just as we were during break and I was doing things and I saw the TB12 stuff. And I'll throw this to you because we haven't done any MMA except for Conor on Monday night. What is the fascination with this guy Khabib? Like, look, I know he's like undefeated and you know this great, you know, talent and he beats everybody that he fights. Like, the guy retires, the father passes away, he wins again. Who was the last guy that he beat up? Who was the last guy that Khabib beat?
Justin Gaethje.
Gaethje. So he beats Gaethje. That was at Fight Island, right? Was that towards the end of the summer or early fall, whenever that was? So he beats him. He retires. And now he's gone. And all we've done now for the last, like, 6 weeks is, like, these secret meetings with Dana in these side rooms in the hallway. And we think he can come back. Oh, he'll only come back if he fights GSP, who hasn't fought in years. What is the fascination with this guy? Because as somebody, as we always talk about, who doesn't really get too into it, I like the big fights. Whenever I've watched this guy fight, A, I like guys with personality. He has none. B, you know, he's good, but he's like a grappler. You know, kind of, you know, it's not the same as the guy Usman who really bothers me, who just kicks people. But there's just not a lot of excitement. Like, I like guys who knock people out. That's not really his game. What is the fascination about wanting to see this guy fight more?
Well, I mean, the big thing, he's always been a wrestler, but I think that he's been even better in his last couple of fights. We saw against, you know, first against Conor, he had some pop and kind of shook him and made Conor, you know, stumble back for a second, be like, wait a second, you threw a punch? And then against, you know, Justin Gaethje, he, again, he used the stand-up and pummeled him a little bit before he took him down and submitted him. So he has developed his game a lot the last couple of fights, which is why it's kind of disappointing that he's retired right now. You know, in his prime, undefeated and better than ever, is kind of a shocking and disappointing time for him to be gone. But I think that the big thing for Dana is always marketing. You know, as we see that with Conor, they didn't promote Poirier. Poirier was the better fighter. He's the one who won. The guy's now gotten, you know, 500,000 Twitter followers off of that win because people didn't know before, and now they know. But you have Conor, you have Ronda, you know, people like that, GSP, like anyone who was, you know, A, if you're a great fighter and you're, you know, seem to be unbeatable, that is a way to promote you. That's a way that, you know, can anybody get this guy down? Can anybody get this win? That's one thing you can use to promote you. But also a big thing for, you know, Dana is promoting around the world, because this isn't just a U.S. sport. This isn't a North American sport. This is a worldwide sport where people are coming from all over. So, yeah, there's a lot of great fighters in it, but he loves to use people from different areas to promote it in that area. Whenever they have the cards in Brazil, it's loaded with Brazilian fighters. You know, half of the guys you might not have heard of here. You know, they're not guys you may know big time, but it gets people going there. You know, when he's had fights around the country in the U.S., he loads it up with people from that area. The New York cards always had a ton of New York area fighters. You know, when you go to Europe, they do the same thing. So Khabib is huge for that, because A, he's from Russia, so that brings in all the Europeans there. B, he's a devout Muslim, so that brings in a big portion of the world that is Muslim. You know, they have someone they could root for. They have someone they could get behind, because those people aren't going to get behind the drinking and partying and loudmouth Conor McGregor. They hate him. So, you know, it gives a face for him to use around the world. You know, you saw that with that fight against Gaethje. That wasn't normal 10 p.m. Eastern pay-per-view. That was in the middle of the afternoon, which you would say, like, why would you do that? You're losing so many people. Well, because he wasn't worried about the people in the U.S. as the big part. He was worried about the people around the world that love him. So I think that's a big thing for him. It's not just that this guy's great, that this guy's a champion and undefeated and pound-for-pound best. It's that he can use him around the world and sell more fights in Europe and Asia and the Middle East than he will with just about any other fighter on his roster.
No, and that makes more sense when you look at it from a worldwide perspective. Because I think here, for fans like me, you like the lead up. You like the, you know, you like personality. It's
you
why
like the trash
I, you, it's why I prefer Conor when he fights, because I like the spectacle.
And that guy, personality-wise, as we know, and this doesn't, you know, listen, it's about fighting. It's about beating the other guy. Personality-wise and selling a fight and things like that, that guy brings zero. I mean, zero. And I get he's a great fighter, all that, but I think that in this game, you need a little bit more. But you're right, over there, you don't need as much of that to sell the fight. They just look at the guy as their guy, and he's the great best fighter, and that's why they're going to gravitate to him. But I feel like over here, like, he can't possibly... Khabib fights, and forget this last one, because I think what's gone on in the last year is a little bit differently. But even before that, Khabib headlining pay-per-views in the U.S. couldn't have been the major draws like some of these other guys are. He just couldn't have been.
Well, as he got later on, he got, you know, of course, draws. I mean, the big thing for the UFC is that you could put two guys in there that you never heard of in certain towns where you don't have those cards, you're going to get people anyway. Right. In bigger cities like New York, Vegas, yeah, those ones you need
just big pay-per-view names. Buys. Pay-per-view
right,
buys,
pay-per-view
too.
Buys. Well, you know, yeah, because the one against Conor was the biggest one. But, of course, that was Conor was involved. That's why. You know, when right. you have other guys, when you have the Gaethje one didn't even make the list of the top five, I don't believe. You know, the guys in the one in Brooklyn where he ended up fighting Ally Aquinta because everyone got hurt or pulled out. That, you know, of course, did no buys. So, yeah, you're right. You know, you need other guys to be the headliners if you want to sell pay-per-views in the U.S. If our, you know, if Khabib's got a great fight, then maybe he'll bring in some, but it's still not going to be the level of Conor or some of these other people who have the big mouths and promote, and you could root against or for, depending on how you feel about them.
Yeah, that's what it really comes down to. I just like the showman. I like the guys that really bring it like that. Before we go, one more thing. Baseball. Mets. The Mets ship him out. He goes to Toronto. Geez,
love
Toronto
it.
Toronto finally gets a pitcher. I mean, I think it's great that they're spending all this money on offense. You know, bring in Springer, bring in Simeon, bring in all these guys. But you do got to get guys out, too. You know, you do got to. You can't just mash. You can mash yourself to the playoffs, but you can't mash yourself to a World Series. Now, Mats isn't exactly – it's not like they just traded for Trevor Bauer here. I mean, Mats stinks. And yeah, that's why you're happy that he's gone. But it also, Mafia, could be the thing that unlocks – freeing up a couple of bucks and a spot in the rotation for possibly Trevor Bauer getting closer to the Mets.
Yeah, that's another reason why I love it. You know, they had a lot of guys in this rotation. Not that I think you really needed to free up money with the guy that you have owning them now, Cohen, or B, you know, a spot, because if you get Trevor Bauer, you're just kicking somebody out and sending him away. It doesn't matter. It's not like, you know, this guy was going to be competition. I mean, Mats, when he first came up with them, was awesome. And that little playoff run they had to the World Series, and ever since it's been hurt and mediocre at best. And, you know, sorry. You know, thanks for your time here, but good riddance.
Yeah, no, always hurt since that year. Since 15, he has constantly been hurt. Pharrell on the bench, Carver High, and Mafia. We wrap it up right after this. And we're back. Pharrell on the bench. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty tonight and all week long. 844-843-6879. Mafia, there was only two games in the NHL tonight. Chicago lost in his shootout to Nashville. So that was both wins. Jeez, Nashville took both games of that last night and tonight. The other game, Ottawa and Vancouver. Vancouver beat them 5-1. So Monday, Vancouver beat Ottawa 7-1. Tonight, Vancouver beat Ottawa 5-1. And guess what, Mafia? Who plays again? Tomorrow for a third time this week. And third time in 4 days, actually. Vancouver and Ottawa. Do we hammer the -1.5 at +176 tomorrow night, Mafia?
Yeah, I feel pretty comfortable doing that. I mean, Ottawa's just been terrible this year. They won that first game against Toronto, and everyone there got excited, and then it's just been not even downhill. It's been down the drain ever since. I mean, that Canadian division is pretty much shaping it to be what we all thought it was. When they made it and they split it up, everyone's like, oh, come on, really? Like, there's less teams than everywhere else, and half of them stink, and that's what it's been. It's been just a roller coaster ride of terribleness. You have Toronto's good. Montreal's been really good. Winnipeg, solid. And then after that, it's like just crap, 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 crap. And it's just not fair that these teams, you need an extra team out of there that has no business being in the playoffs.
No, it's so true. And Thursday night is shaping up to be a very spicy night, wagering-wise, in the NHL. 14 games
on the schedule, including a lot of second legs of back-to-backs.
Big night for your power
plays. A lot
of
second legs. So a lot of power. Oh, yeah, we're looking for a lot of power plays tomorrow night. But and teams like the Islanders who lost the other night, the Rangers who lost the other night, the Penguins who lost the other night, Tampa Bay gets back on the ice. Carolina hasn't played in a while. So a lot of interesting spots in the NHL that we'll talk about on Coast to Coast. Great job, Mafia. I'll see you tomorrow. Pharrell on the bench. Carver High and Mafia will be with you for the rest of the week. Have a good night, everybody.